They love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's health care costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. MediShare.com or 855-90-PSALM.
It's the first time since the shutdown began that some government workers will not be receiving their paychecks. The shutdown showing no end in sight, prompted by President Trump's demand for $5 billion to construct a massive border wall. The president visiting the border yesterday.
Out of that, 133.
So yesterday alone, you had
450 out of that.
The president speaking with a top-level agent from Border Patrol who says more than 100 illegals detained at the porous border from many countries other than Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras.
India, we apprehended some Pakistanis.
So they apprehended people from the Middle East, and they do it all the time. You know, everybody says, well, where are they from? We're not talking about only Mexico. All over the world they come in.
That's USA Radio's Robin Walensky reporting. Another protest is planned outside the Chicago studios of R&B singer R. Kelly tomorrow. They're calling for a boycott of Kelly's music and for him to be prosecuted for a growing number of sexual abuse allegations. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Charlie Jones here. The new year is finally upon us, and to make 2019 a better year, it all starts with a good night's rest. And right now, MyPillow's best offer ever has been extended. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the end of the year special for the lowest price MyPillow has ever offered for their four-pack, including free shipping. And their 60-day money-back guarantee has been extended through March 1st. Best price ever, free shipping, extended money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com. Click on the end of the year special to get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows for their lowest price ever. And be sure to use my promo code USA.
A new attempt made by a congresswoman to stop drunk driving. Democratic Michigan Representative Debbie Dingell is introducing legislation that would require all new vehicles to have interlock breathalyzer devices built in as standard equipment. That after a suspected drunk driver killed a suburban Detroit family of five over the past weekend in Kentucky. Dingell says the technology exists, but Congress needs to find the will to act. She called it a moral imperative to do everything possible to save lives, and she's pledging to work with both sides in Congress and the auto industry to get this change made. A stomach virus causing a Royal Caribbean cruise ship to return to port a day early. The Oasis of the Seas is to arrive back in Florida tomorrow instead of Sunday after more than 250 of its passengers and crew got sick. They're experiencing a norovirus-like illness that causes diarrhea as well as vomiting. Royal Caribbean saying in a statement the ship had over 6,000 passengers, so only about 3% of them got sick. But still, they're returning early to thoroughly sanitize the ship before its next sailing. And actress Verna Bloom is dead. The character actress, beginning her career in 1969, working until her final appearance in a 2003 episode of The West Wing. She died Wednesday from complications of dementia at the age of 80. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, everyone. This is Pat Gregory with Taskman Home Improvements, and Steve is across from me right now. Can you say hi, Steve?
I can say hi, Steve.
And we're super late today, so I apologize for the delay in starting our show, Home Sweet Home. The first one of the year. We're already late, Steve. What the heck are we doing here?
Hey, listen, you know, 2019 is a very busy year. I mean, you know, things are going to happen like this, but it is a bad omen.
So, you know, bear with us for 2 seconds while we plug in here, folks, and we'll be straight back with a show.
Yeah, well, let's hear from some of our sponsors, or I could sing. Nah, let's hear from some of our sponsors.
Let's talk about the commercials, right?
All right. Sounds good. Folks, we'll be right back.
Are you in business? Not a member of the chamber? Come to the Huntington County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Huntington County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Huntington Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Huntington Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Okay, folks, welcome back. This is Home Sweet Home for the first time of 2019, bringing you live and exciting information about, well, your home. And we'll talk to you about fun things like what is to happen in your home, how to fix it, DIYers. We cover the gamut, the waterfront, the storefront, the housefront, whatever you want to call it. But the idea is to come together here, folks, share valuable information about your home, ideas on things you can do yourself, where you need professionals. Talk about if you're going to sell your home. I can talk about the inspection world. By gosh, we cover it all. But before we go into that today, and before we let you know what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to give you the weather. Today, we're going to be running about, according to my forecast here, in the mid-20s. Now, as I was driving in, I thought we'd actually broken into the 30s, but I could be wrong. And we're going to drop down this evening to a high of 13. So I want everybody to put the extra blanket, the extra layers on, and by all means, close your windows.
And snuggle.
That's a good idea, even if it's with a teddy bear. All right, Saturday, high of 26, and then, of course, 50% chance Saturday evening going down to a low of 20. On Sunday, we have a high of 28, mostly cloudy in the morning, but it looks like it's going to clear up, but it's going to be a low of 15 degrees on Sunday evening, and then Monday, where we're going to hit the freezing mark as our high point, around 32 degrees, and then Monday evening, dropping to a low of 22. Tuesday, a high of 33 again, around the freezing point, but it's going to be all sunny. I do believe winter is here, my friend.
Yes, it is.
I think it's here.
I think you didn't say anything about snow this weekend, right?
No, just 50% chance that one shot there on Saturday evening. So.
Here or down more to the south of us?
It's going
to
be here.
Really?
Well, actually, it's going to be a little north of us, to be honest. It's going to be a little bit north.
I thought it was south.
I don't think so. I mean, let me double check my location here. Here we go. All right. Well, bottom line is it looks like about a 50% chance on Saturday night, and it's going to be about 24 degrees, so I think you're going to have some dusting at least. So, back to the forecast. We are back on to Tuesday, a high of 36, again sunny, and then a low of 24. Wednesday, cloudy a little bit, but sunny. High of 38 degrees. We're crawling out of it, but wait, 33, we're going to be back around freezing. So you're going to be anywhere between 15 and 35 degrees for the next 7 days. We have a slight chance of snow on Saturday evening. And you know something? It's time to just talk about those eerie noises that you might be hearing in your home. What do you think?
You're talking about what bumps in the night?
What bumps in the night. That's it, folks. That's what we're going to talk about as soon as we come back from our sponsor here.
It's and ghost stories.
We're going to talk about ghost stories, bumps in the night, squeaks,
ghost stories.
And all kinds of good things. But you know something? There's some reasons for that. We'll be right back.
I went right into the next song.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to let our sponsor talk now. But
oh, okay. All right. Just one ad, folks. We'll be straight back.
On Thursday, November 8th, from 2 till 7 p.m., the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce will be holding its 30th Annual Business Expo and Food Showcase presented by PNC Bank. It will be held at Next Level Arena in Flemington, featuring over 100 exhibitors, demos, a chance to enter the cash machine, door prizes, and food tastings from local restaurants. From 4 till 6, meet Bill Spadia from New Jersey 101.5. Admission is free. For details, call the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit hunterdonchamber.org.
Well, Steve, I keep on making the same mistakes. They give me this ad sheet that I'm supposed to press the buttons to be able to run the commercials.
Of course.
And number 24, number 30, number 50 so far are all obsolete.
So well, we're going to talk to the brass about that, and then we'll just play our jingle every time because we're just not sure anymore.
Yeah, we could do that.
Folks, welcome to Home Sweet Home. As
woo-hoo,
you can see,
we're here.
If we're running ads that seem a bit expired, they are.
They are.
So hang in there with us. We at the Chamber are always trying to sponsor as much as we can. Sometimes we have a hard time keeping up with all the actions and activities going on here. But it's a wonderful organization. I encourage businesses in the area, both corporate and small, to consider being members in the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. It's a great location to come and network across each other. I've got competitors that have recently joined, and I'm thrilled they're a part of the chamber because as a profession, it just goes to show you how important it is to be able to talk across not only our profession but other businesses and to get in lockstep with the economic health of our community. So anyway, just a plug for the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. They sponsor this wonderful opportunity to be on the radio. It's a great feature and asset for the members and mm-hmm. another reason to join.
And we've been doing it for 3 years now?
3 years now, and it's amazing. We, for some reason, we haven't run out of anything to talk about.
Yeah, sometimes we repeat ourselves that that's old age.
Well, that's not. Well, it is that, but I would suggest to you it's seasonal, too, because a yes. lot of times, you know, I don't know about you, but if you want me to learn something, you better tell me about five times.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. You got to knock it through. Like, you know, you have to hammer it home that
right.
that this is happening. And
right.
sooner or later, people will get the idea.
Right.
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 So
I think so.
We are today going to talk about literally the weird sounds that you may hear in your home.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. And it you did talk about seasonal. I would say that there are certain times of the year where it's predominantly more something that you hear because of the cold.
Yep.
But I think in the summer too, there, I can't think of something right off the top of my head, but we'll figure that out. We could talk about what happens in the summertime, but because we are in January.
Why do wood floors squeak more in the wintertime than in the summer?
Yeah, you started it right up, you know.
Yeah.
That was the first pitch. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, man. Can
go
I?
Go ahead. Yeah.
All right.
Brother. That's a nice one.
You know, the one thing that I get a lot of questions on as a home inspector, especially after a client has moved in, is that, and I always try to tell them during an inspection, every home has its own personality.
It's true.
I really believe that.
Is it a really an animate?
Inanimate.
Well, it is an inanimate, I'm going to say it is an animate
right.
object.
Right. You have.
It's a living, breathing thing.
Right. And I believe that, too. Think of the construction of your normal home is made out of live wood.
Sure.
And it's made out of natural products, and then we as human beings have created synthetic products out of both natural and created products. And we bring them all together, and we hammer them and lock them together, and we ask them to do certain things. We ask the furnace to create heat, the hot water heater to create hot water. So typical tradespeople, at least from my corner of the world, kind of put a personality to all these circumstances and personality and soul to these homes. And I think a lot of people would agree with me. Houses have a lot of soul, and they can have a lot more soul than you sometimes want them to have.
Some people are in agreement that there are souls living spirits.
That'd be a good show to have, too.
Well, only during the Halloween season.
That's right.
So. We've done that in the past. You guys, we do have podcasts or archived recordings going back to 2015, I think.
Yeah.
So if you're so inclined, you can actually check out our files. They're a date file. So you can actually go back a couple of years to close to Halloween, and we've talked about that specific thing.
Yeah, the good old spirits that like to rumble around.
Yeah.
And that can be part of your sound process, but we talked about floors.
Yeah,
we're
going to talk about actual substantiated
things that we can actually put our fingers on. And, of course, when in the wintertime, many homes will evaporate a great deal of humidity, and temperature changes have a cellular or what I call a drying effect on our natural products as well as some of our synthetic products. So when that happens, a lot of our what I call natural gasket seals flexibility comes out of those products, and they become rigid or they become hardened, and then they start to flex because they may be fastened with a nail, they may be in the middle of a floor, they may be glued down, they may be floating. They literally might be floating. And, of course, when that humidity comes out, now I've taken the lubricant out of much of my natural products that keep it healthy and smooth running and so on, and hardens it to something that's going to kind of make a little noise next time somebody takes a walk across it. So a perfect example is squeaky floors in the wintertime, and you'll find it interesting that in the summertime they get a little quieter.
Yeah.
You know, they will actually start to, they'll swell because they reabsorb moisture, and they squeak a bit less. Same way with doors. Your doors will work better in the wintertime sometimes.
Well, yeah, I get a lot of phone calls, all of a sudden the door's not closing properly, and I always kind of scratch my head when it's in the middle of the winter because the doors should be closing correctly because they've contracted.
Right.
And in the summertime, they bloat, the real wood doors. I'm not talking about the stamped out hollow core doors that you can get at Home Depot for $30.
You said that with such disdain.
Yeah, well, they're low quality doors, and there's no natural products in it at all.
Yeah. It's all man-made
door.
Yeah,
but let's get back to the floors. Let's dig deep into the problem with squeaky floors. I wake up my wife every night when I have to go
to the
restroom. Nature calls.
That's okay.
Squeak, squeak, squeak. Because of those floors.
Yep.
And what's the actual mechanical thing going on that makes the squeak?
Well, you have your subfloors, and think about this for a minute, folks. If you're walking across carpet, underneath that carpet is typically a pad, and it's usually quarter inch, maybe half inch. That'd be kind of thick, in my opinion, but it could be there
if you paid the extra money for the thick pad.
And then you have a piece of plywood sitting on top of floor joists,
3/4 inch,
yep.
Tongue and groove.
That's right. And in some of our older homes, it's almost hard to guess what's underneath that carpet because it could
be
everything
boards.
Could be boards, it could be patchwork, it could be you name it. So when you walk across that floor, your weight is what they call a live load. I'm exerting pressure at that very point of either your half your weight or even double your weight because you're coming down hard on your foot. And that pressure is that's energy being translated right through that carpet onto that floorboard. That floorboard is either attached well and distributes that energy across the board because it's going to stop it, or it's going to move too.
Yeah.
And when it moves, if it's not attached well to that floor joist, you got yourself a singing harmony.
Yeah.
You could be a snare drum walking across that floor.
And, the fact that the fasteners themselves unfasten.
Yeah, they loosen.
So, yeah. Sure. Screws normally are a better option. Mm. A lot of people put the nails in, because they have a nail gun and it's just
fast,
way faster.
Bang, 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 bang.
And a lot of, it's not that it's negligence. and
minimal contracting standards.
Shoddy workmanship. Yeah. Because I mean, you could literally take that 4x8 sheet of tongue and groove 3/4-inch plywood, put a glue bead on every one of those joists, and drop it down. Screw it down, and it's still going to move.
I think you gave it more credit. You called it tongue and groove. I can tell you, my 20-year-old townhome has no tongue and groove.
Oh, no?
No. It's okay. Plywood slammed down to a what's called silent floor I-beam system. Yep. The biggest problem is they never glued the subfloors down.
They didn't even glue those.
And that's a requirement. You okay. have to do that on that structure. And as far as tongue
Shame
and groove.
Shame on them.
Yeah. As far as tongue and groove, not a tongue and groove anywhere in my house, except for my hardwood floors.
Well, even at that, you know, you take, you know, two boards that are side by side,
and they're gonna.
And if there's a little flex between that those two edges, you're getting that little bit of a squeaky sound. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, there if you have carpet down, well, you got a problem because you're not gonna pull away your carpet in the middle of the room to get to that squeak. Now there are all kinds of neat systems out there that have, you know, built the better mousetrap, and you can buy these cool silencing systems with a screw that you can screw right through the carpet, right through the pad, and hopefully you hit
the stud.
You know, yeah, you hit like a joist of some sort or the I-beam, like you said, and clamp down
right.
that board.
Binder down.
But it is really a shot in the dark. Oh, it really God. Is. You're just shooting where you hope it is, and trust me, I've done it. So, yeah. And it's not too bad, depending on what kind of carpet you have. If right. you have just the thick pile stuff, a screw with a smaller head will go right through.
Slip right through it.
But if it's Berber or something like that, be careful, because if it snags the Berber and starts pulling it,
it'll spin it right out. You have a big hole in your carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
bummer.
It's going to cost you money.
Yeah, you need a professional to do that, and I'm sure Patrick doesn't want me to recommend him for that particular job, so I won't.
It really is kind of like...
It is. It is truly a guessing game.
It is guess, yeah.
It's a guessing game.
Now, if it's hardwood floors, old, you know, 100-year-old house, hardwood floors, and they're squeaking like crazy, the floor, the stair treads...
Yeah.
You know, up and down, reveal your every move as you're...
Oh, yeah.
Which is great if you have a teenager in the house that's...
and you want to know. They hate those floors. They hate them.
Do you have any suggestions on how to possibly fix those?
Well, there's a couple of different things that I've encountered over the years in my contracting days. If I have a set of stair treads that I can get to the underside, I can do a lot of work on that.
Yeah.
I can put blockers in. I can put
little wedges.
Yeah. All kind, glue them in. And usually you can take out a great deal of noise and flexibility that way. Now, assuming you can't get to the underside of your stairs.
Because it's drywall.
Now the answer is, if they're carpeted, you have the same problem that you did with your floor. You're guessing. You know, you're trying to sink a screw into a framing that stair tread or kick plate or that riser, if you will, to some piece of wood framing structure in that staircase. And that's pretty dicey because they're all built just a little bit differently often. So I'm a fan that says if you have a squeaky set of stairs, then you plan for a bigger project. Put your money somewhere else. As far as the floors are concerned,
floorboards.
Yeah, I think when it comes to wood floorboards, it's back to your statement, Pat, that they've got a lot of creative fasteners now to do it. I'm not afraid to pilot a hole, do a proper screwing of that board in the appropriate place, and then.
And then
resurface it. Mm-hmm. In other words, whether it's a putty or whether it's a wood plug, I'll do it. Now, I've rarely had to do that. What I've been able to do typically on those wood floors, depending on the severity, if they're a floating wood floor, and I find them to be some cases, typically that's a laminate. Or it's a
veneered. I wouldn't call it a wood floor.
Yeah.
it's not really a wood floor, but it's a laminate of some sort.
And they do
like
a lot
wood.
Of floaters. The answer is you can actually pop a section off that and start working that issue, literally pull it apart, and then do something with the insulator underneath it.
Yeah.
Hardwood, back to that, and I didn't mean to take us too far astray there. Hardwood is just going to be more adventurous, and I know that a lot of the hardwood guys say, oh, hey, I got a way to do that. I've heard everything from pilot holes and injecting glue to the dead screw, which I just talked about, to essentially taking the starter row off along one of the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do at that point is they will start resecuring. They'll start knocking. In other words, they'll either pull out two or three pieces if they've got a gap, or if they'll start to retighten those boards and then break the starter row in tighter.
Oh, yeah.
To create a binding effect.
But, you know, the installation purposes, you need that little bit of a gap for expansion.
Exactly. Well, it's going to create a bigger gap along the edge is what it's going to what they're going to do. Now, they literally have to get – it depends on each application because the older homes, I mean, these are built right – I mean, they literally are the deck of the home.
Yes.
Okay. They run under walls often.
Yeah.
And in newer homes, we take our hardwood floors, finish our box, our rooms out, and take our floors up to the walls.
Right.
So you're going to see different repair techniques as that process goes. And it's sometimes not very simple. In fact, in a lot of cases, if it's a real noisy mess, you're talking about some disassembly to be played out here. There's no question about it.
And if it's that much, I mean, if you have squeaks everywhere, then it's probably you're diagnosing a larger issue that probably the joists have disconnected or there really wasn't a good
connection
amount
in the first place.
Yeah, nails. When you kind of toe peg those nails in with that special gun that on the tongue side of when you're installing, and perhaps there's just not enough nails so they didn't put enough nails per board. Or those nails were too short and they didn't actually penetrate into the subfloor, if there is a subfloor.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of... Now, I've heard of, like, talcum powder, you know, throw a bunch in,
absolutely.
In between the cracks and in between the seams.
Especially
and try
the
to
older homes.
Move it in.
People try to
see,
do that.
See if you can get some kind of almost a lubrication effect. Or
it's interesting. In the older homes where you want to preserve the old floors and they're scarred and beat up, but they look pretty, they got a nice patina, and they carry the characteristics. It's good to – I've talked to craftsmen who do furniture refinishing on how to deal with older wood that's in an exposed condition, meaning it's going to be walked on, of course. And they have some pretty clever ideas on how to not only preserve or refinish and preserve, but how to get it to perform better.
Mm-hmm.
And those furniture restorers – have a lot of products that they use when they're dealing with furniture. And furniture, of course, is fixed except for chairs. Chairs are often something we sit in and it flexes. It's a it's just like a floor. You're not walking on it. Well, in some cases you might, but not likely. But the case is you're sitting on it, therefore that furniture moves. And they have some great techniques that they suggest when it comes to applying those to hardwood floors. To explain it would be, I'm not even sure I could, but I've heard those conversations and been part of that. And if your house is newer, it truly is getting a professional floor contractor to come in and say, look, the best thing for me to do here is disassemble a third, a half, whatever, and reset whatever section of that floor needs to be reset, and doing the proper gluing and nailing. But that's part of the creaks and noises game that you end up being a part of. My house is, like I said, it's coming up on, in fact, it's 20 years this year, is it? Yeah, 20 years this year. And my second floor, you'd think I was in a turn-of-the-century farmhouse.
I mean,
you walk out there and the squeaking is deafening. So what I'll be doing is I'll be pulling the carpet up and I'll be, now that I have the exposed subfloor, which is plywood, I'll look for my opportunity to reattach it. The worst thing you can do is overnail it. And a lot of people, when I first had the problem, when I was first being built, I said, you got a couple squeaks here and there before you do anything. And they came in and lifted some of the floor surface materials because it wasn't finely secured.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I counted 36 nails in within a 2-inch.
They just
totally weakened the floor at that point. I mean, they just totally. So you need to have people that know what they're doing. And they got to know how to attach things. And while it can be straightforward, it can certainly be messed up even worse.
Right.
So
let's talk a little bit more about, you know what, we should take a break. But let's talk a little bit more about the sounds that are automatically happening. It's something that happens in the house that you didn't start. You weren't standing on something and it made the noise. It's just you're laying in bed at night and you hear a pop or a crack or a bang, literally, And where are those noises coming from?
You got it, bud.
Let's talk about that. You know what we're going to do?
What?
You see that piece of paper? On
yes, sir. Open mic night?
Yeah, why don't you pull a plug? That'll be our commercial here.
All right,
the
well,
half
sounds
hour.
Good. We have an open mic night, and this is for folks that are local area comics and musicians. You have to be 16 years of age or older and to be in the audience as well. But it's at Zoup, Z-O-U-P, and it's over at the 100 Realville Avenue Flemington Mall. There's stores next to it like Taylor's. My wife likes to shop over there. Addicted Chic is over there.
Ulta, I think, is the place my wife likes to go to.
Yeah, there's Di Francesco is the Italian restaurant, or Francesca, I'm not sure. Anyway.
Across the parking lot?
Yeah,
there?
Across the parking lot. Well, Home Goods. The Home Goods store is over in that,
yes.
in that mall. Yeah. So anyway, to give you an idea, it's from 8 to 10 p.m. on January 19th. It's the Shops at Flemington Mall at 100 Realville Avenue in Flemington, and it's an open mic night. So if you got some talent like Pat and myself, you get over there and you sing it up or you joke it up. Now, we're not very funny, and we don't sing at all. Well, Pat does. I don't. So maybe you should go over to mic night there, buddy. I'll sit there and cheer you on.
I don't know. I have a feeling I have something else to do on a Saturday night.
There you go.
If I was 20 years younger, I was still able to play guitar the way I played back then, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Well, folks, enjoy it. It's one of our businesses here in Flemington, and it's good to support our Hunterdon County businesses, and it looks like they're going to have a fun night over at Zoup. Z-O-U-P.
And I've had their Zoups before. It's delicious. Yeah,
wonderful.
I don't know how many soups they have.
Well, I know they have a bunch.
Well, that's their trade. So, I mean, and literally they'll offer you a little sample. So, you know, a little bit like all the other sandwich places, you can do a two soup menu, or you can have a soup with a salad.
A pick two, not to steal from somebody else.
Exactly. You know, yeah, I didn't want to talk about the other place, but so you could eat literally two soups.
Yeah,
you know, one after the other, which is a little funny to think, but you know, you could have like
Carmen
a light soup.
Carmen does that to me all the time
with all kinds of meat. You know,
we go to our local little diner now and then, and mine comes with a sandwich and a cup of soup, and she gets a cup of soup and takes my soup.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, if you're a soup person,
she's a soup person. So anyway, folks, let's stop by Zoup on January 19th and between 8 and 10, have a good time. So feel free to do that. Now,
back to
pops and noises.
Pops and noises. So I'm talking about. It's midnight. You've been sleeping for a while, and you hear a bang, and you're like, "What the heck was that?"
I don't know.
And you know, so you can have like bangs that sound like a shotgun, and you can hear, and there are other bangs that are more like a, and then there's other bangs that are like, boom, you know, and more like a cracking sound.
Oh, that's one that always catches my attention.
So let's talk about the cracking sound a little bit, and. What I would suggest is that this happens on a very, very cold night. And like, we've been starting to get some cold, but we're talking like serious cold. I was talking to my mom this morning.
And the cracking gets louder with the wind.
Well, that's a different, maybe different crack?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, talking about the wind flexing, and there you could have maybe like vinyl siding on the outside
shear.
Of your house.
Wind shear activity.
Yeah. So like vinyl siding, you know, the way that it's
that can
fastened.
Be a noisy crack.
Oh, yeah, that is could be really annoying.
Yeah.
The way they fasten vinyl siding is that it's a little bit loose. You can't, when they put those little nails in, they're roofing nails basically, and you don't see them because they're behind the seams. There's a little bit of flex so that it'll move sideways. And although at the same time, when you have a very strong wind coming through, it rattles the siding a little bit. And if it is too loose, sometimes this the way that they secure the siding, they haven't hit the studs in between. They weren't able to figure that out, so they've actually dropped the nail right into the sheathing, and it became loose. And now you're getting siding that's really loose, and sometimes falls right off the house. Get a lot of those too, but that's a different kind of sound. I'm talking about the banging sounds that are coming usually from the attic. And it's because your attic is the same temperature as outside. And
right.
If it's friggin' cold out there.
It's friggin' cold
out there. It's up there, yeah. That's the word, right? Friggin', right. You know how to spell it?
F-R-I-G-G-I-N. I've seen it at least written that way.
Friggin'. So friggin'. The roof rafters are built from real wood, two by six, I guess.
Well, it's two by four and two by six. I see a lot of sadly, we've gotten into truss construction because it's the least expensive way to go. In a lot of our new construction, for mm-hmm. example. But a larger structure will demand, an engineer will demand a 2x6 truss, mm-hmm. where I've seen now 2x4 trusses pretty popular in some of the what I call smaller roof structures. And while it's a grid system that's certainly designed to support the dead weight and the live loads, meaning live loads would be rain and snow and things melting. Actually, a dead load would be able to snow too. But more importantly, they're basically gang nailed together as a frame, and that in and of itself has a joint mm-hmm. at every gang nail.
Yeah. And so, those joints are held either with nails or with plates on either side.
Exactly.
That are hammered into place with these little spikes, if you want to call it that.
That's right.
But all that moves, especially when there's no moisture left in the wood at those temperatures, being so cold, so dry, arid, that they twist. And that's what you're going to hear in the middle of the night is it's a crack, but that crack actually, the volume of that crack ends up moving into other systems, which include the drywall attached to that.
Well, that's right. And I mean, that's called resonance.
Yeah.
And resonance is my son taught me. He's a sound engineer. He says, well, Dad, you take sound waves. You know, because I used to talk to him. I said, you know, there's sometimes where I'm sitting in my office and I think Route 78 is coming through my office.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's other times he said, well, sound waves can be redirected by wind conditions, barometric pressure. He started going to all the science behind sound waves. Mm-hmm. And he says, you can have a pin drop on one end of the house. And if you have the proper transmission of conditions, again, barometric humidity, all these type of things, he says, you'll hear it.
Yeah.
He says you can. Now, the likelihood
is... Butterfly effect.
That's right. Butterfly effect. Exactly. Yeah. So you're right.
But you're right. I could be in the middle, sleeping in the middle of the night, and I get woken up by the trucks on 78, either downshifting, the air braking.
Jake brake.
Or just the sound of, you know, so many trucks in the middle of the night going through. And I attribute it a lot to, if it's very overcast and the sound.
Holding that sound.
Yeah, that sound is bouncing off the clouds and staying within that. Whereas if it went into the atmosphere.
It would resonate elsewhere.
Yeah. But so I'm thinking a lot of the pops and cracks that you're hearing have to do with the fasteners that are holding the drywall in place, and it's such a rigid system that it doesn't want to move, and it's being forced to move, and you get that crack.
Right.
So all of a sudden, you could see cracks along the seams where the ceiling and the wall meet. All of a sudden, there's a crack there, and you're like, that wasn't there before. And that could happen overnight, literally, like just you hear that crack, and you don't know where it came from, but sooner or later, you're going to see the crack. You hear the crack, and then you see it later.
and you know, it's interesting you should bring that up. And let me give you a real-time example that I did an inspection this past Saturday. A beautiful location. I mean, you walked out on this deck, and it was North Jersey, and it was just this spectacular. I think it was Greenwood Lake. I'm not sure. But it was up in Hewitt Township, way up north, right on the New York-Jersey border.
You travel far.
Well, I didn't intend to, but a good friend of mine who's an engineer, it was his family member, and I do whatever I can if my calendar permits. So I wanted to do this for him. Got up there, and it was a breathtaking view. This was a Malibu house. I mean, sat on the side of a mountain. It was an old summer cabin renovated into a contemporary. And what's interesting to drive this point home is they had built on one of their additions to this particular structure a cathedral ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, think of a cathedral ceiling as a layer of sheetrock,
mm-hmm.
perhaps a vapor barrier. We'd like to think there is one.
Sure.
Insulation, roof deck, shingle. It's a sandwich.
It is a sandwich.
It's a sandwich.
With insulation in there.
With insulation in it.
Yep.
The outside temperature is 21, like it is right now. Inside temperature at that peak is 75.
I was going to say 75 because heat heat will rise.
Right. Right.
So you're heating basically the roof line.
Right. So within 6 inches, all right, let's give it the benefit of the doubt. 8 inches in total from surface to outside surface to inside surface, I'm cooling to 21 degrees.
Yeah.
Because heat's trying to get out.
And that's pretty amazing if you think about it,
yeah,
that we have the technology to keep that heat from transferring. It's not perfect, and it can't be.
It's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Because all the corner tapes were starting to pull.
Mm.
And the guy says, hey, the structure's... I said, no, the structure's moving. Mm-hmm. The tape is moving. It's cold. The moisture outside was intense. It was heavy rain day.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, dry as a bone. Why? I had the heat on. I was dehumidifying. So you take all that capillary action of moisture coming out of products, both synthetic and natural, and you take the temperature variance within 8 inches, probably 7, from dropping 50 degrees, come on.
I mean, yeah.
I'll tell you one right now. If you know, within my foot's 13 inches long, and if my toe was 21 degrees and my heel was 75, I'd be moving.
Yeah.
I hate to show you a metaphor here, and it's a strange one.
You always come up with a really good metaphor.
My toe's freezing to death and my heel's cooking.
I like that.
Anyway, folks, the whole idea is that you're going to get movement. Mm-hmm. You really are, and you're going to get sound out of that movement a lot of times. And it's kind of fun for us to talk about it truly, even to this day, for a young man that I am that grew up in a turn-of-the-century farmhouse Victorian that was probably put together with more baling wire and old beams and trees than not. I got used to those noises because it turns into white noise. Like people that live in cities don't even hear traffic anymore. It's just part of their that their brain just dismisses it. I mean, I've been woken up in the middle of the night in the last 3 months with a noise.
Yeah,
you know, something went bang. I was like, okay, and I'm very comfortable acknowledging, okay, that was just an expansion contraction, or I'll look at it tomorrow.
Yeah. Now the serious bang, like that, sounds like a shotgun. Well, and that has nothing to do with seasons, I would imagine. But if you do have an attached garage to your house, chances are very good that the next morning when you go to open up your garage door to get out of the house with your car, one of the springs let go. And it's a very distinctive sound that once it happens to you, you'll know what it was.
You'll never forget.
The first time it happens to you,
you'll be in shock.
It wakes you up and you're like, what the heck was that?
Because it sounds like a gun.
You will go around the house searching for the bookcase that fell down or whatever, pots and pans that came flying.
Refrigerator
off.
That fell forward.
Yeah, whatever it is. And you won't find it. You're going to go back to bed scratching your head because you thought someone was coming into your house. And then the next morning you'll learn what it really was.
And the garage door won't open easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, the issue is, you know, these are called the expansion springs in your garage door system, and it's not the roll systems typically, although those springs have failed too. But these stretch springs are on either side of the railings of the tracks, if you will, that your garage door opens on with the wheels. And they have typically, and I always flag these every time I see them, they should have safety cables running through them. So when that's, because that spring will fail eventually.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going
to
go.
And it has a little bit to do, well, it's definitely the tension because it's always under tension.
Well, and it's also, the build is also substandard right now.
Well, yeah, sure. So the metal is not
yeah, they're not going
to, they fabricated want, well. It's meant to break.
It's planned obsolescence.
But it rusts. I mean, a lot of them I see are so rusty already. Because there's no conditioning in a garage, so they are susceptible to all the moisture, you know,
and dryness
and the weather changes also.
Right.
So no kidding, it's going to break sooner or later, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I think that was a terrific example to bring up because that can be absolutely heart stopping. That's the kind of I've seen those go off probably a half a dozen times in my life. To the point where I've seen two, literally without safety cables, go through walls.
Mm, that so, I've never seen, but yeah. I've heard the stories.
And they'll kill you.
And if you were standing in the garage when that let go.
You're done. you're going to get hurt. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We got to hear from one of our sponsors, and we are having a good time talking about
it. So I'm going to hit the buttons that they're telling me to hit the buttons. I just don't know if they're current or not.
I'll tell you, I think you got to play our jingle one more time.
Nah.
All right.
Stay tuned, folks.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, we're back.
Wow.
Sweet home.
What? That's great music. Where'd you get that?
It's a misnomer, because if you listen to it long enough, you'll realize it's actually Irish.
Yeah.
Folky
yeah.
kind of music, but it sounds very Mediterranean.
Yeah, it does. It sounds almost Egyptian.
Now you hear it.
It's Irish.
Called Saucy Sailor.
Saucy Sailor.
From Burning Bridget Cleary. Maybe a cool name, too.
You got yourself a vein of Irish in you, buddy boy. Well, folks, we're back with Home Sweet Home. What we're doing is we're having a good conversation about cracks, bangs, what goes bang in the night in your house. And my partner in crime's got a tip of the day that I think you ought to consider strongly. What do you got there, brother?
Well, I think it was your idea, but... So just a warning to all of you folks that have furnaces. Do you have a furnace at home?
I have a forced air furnace.
I would think so, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone in the Northeast have some kind of heating system.
They have boilers, too, and I've been seeing the same applies
to
them.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, oil burner, whatever it is, if you had not gotten it maintained, if you didn't get a cleaning, if you didn't have a professional come out to look at it before the season started back in, you know, October, November, it'd be a good idea right now to call, like right now, as soon as you finish listening to our show, call your professional and get on their list, because in the next couple of days, we are getting very cold temperatures, and there's going to be a lot of no heat calls, they call them, and you're going to be put on a list that may not be until next week. For service calls, because the first calls that are the most important are the ones that they don't have any heat, and you don't want to be one of those no heat customers. So if you get your if you get your heating system maintained on a regular basis, that shouldn't happen. But I mean, it happens anyway.
Right.
But that's just our quick tip, because it is a safety issue too.
It sure is.
You know, you want your burners, you want them to operate at 100% efficiency.
Mm.
And, you know, if it's a gas-fired furnace, you know, and it's a central air, forced air, and you have a carbon monoxide issue, then, you know, you can die.
Right.
You so don't die.
Right. It's striking, you know, people, and I'll be the first one to fall on this sword to say, you know, I've actually cleaned my own furnace. I've serviced my own furnace.
Yeah.
The bottom line is it's not difficult to do for somebody that's fooled around in the trades. And
but you're not able to, you don't have the infrared camera to be able to check the the heat exchanger.
Right. Therein lies, well, it's, you know, and that's even at that point in time, you want to qualify a professional because they have the tools and the gauges and the abilities to do a heat exchanger evaluation. I am a big fan of that, and I had mine recently checked for leaks because it was past 15 years old, and thankfully it didn't have any indications of a leak. But now that it's almost 20 years old, I know it's scheduled for, but to have it serviced now at this point in time, because we've had fairly mild weather up until this point. I mean, we got into the heating season, don't get me wrong, but the stress on these systems over the next week will be extensive because you're going to drop down to the 20s in the evening, and the furnaces, and of course, depending on how well insulated your home is, that furnace or boiler is going to work overtime to maintain some heat in your home and keep your pipes from freezing and keep you from freezing to boot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great idea. I can't encourage that enough. Get ahead of the crowd, I think, is your message, and I think it's a terrific message because it can get downright expensive because these guys, not that they get a premium, but they get a premium.
They do.
You know, because you're pulling them out of their house at midnight or 2 in the morning or wherever the case may be to make sure you don't suffer any longer than you have to. So good tip of the day.
And thank goodness that they are on a 24-hour schedule and you're not waiting until the next day.
That's right. That's right.
But you're going to pay the price for it too.
Right. That's right. Well, that's good. So back to our squeaks, noises, and what goes bang in the night.
Yeah. We have a common friend that was having a howling, whistling sound, if you want, through her water pipes just recently. And, you know, that is not necessarily a seasonal or a temperature-related type thing, but it can happen. Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah, that's one.
Or is that your dentures?
That's my dentures. Just jumping.
Or you got the one that goes.
Yeah, there's that one. There's that one. I know what
that's my cappuccino maker.
Either that, or you got a leak at your water heater.
Okay.
So I like that. This is fun. You know, well, there's so many different noises. That's what I have to enjoy about a house. And it used to bother me, and now I actually get a kick out of. Well, I wonder what that was. I think that was. Then I like to go discover.
Yeah.
To me, it's challenging at this point.
It's a little bit like detective work.
Yeah, it's detective. You know? It's what I do.
So coming back to that sound that we're hearing through the pipes, what the heck can that be, right? And there are different reasons that it can happen. There could be sediment running through your
leaky
pipes.
Leaky toilet.
You've heard of the phantom flush, right? What we call the phantom flush.
I have.
And people, you know, I'll get
the
these
toilet
calls.
Flushes on its own.
Yeah, that's what I'll hear is people say, something's wrong with the toilet. It keeps on flushing by itself. I'm like, you know, you're a phantom flush, right? It's a word. Yeah, it's the terminology.
You know, the ghost that lives up in the attic, he had to use the bathroom. Give him a break.
Exactly. And so, you know, a system like that is pretty easy to figure out, I would imagine. But for all of you that have had that issue, it's really just the flapper that needs to be replaced. And it's either made out of rubber or silicone. And they do it's a maintenance issue because,
yep.
I mean, sure, that thing is being lifted up and down several times a day,
yep.
And they wear out.
Right.
And if you're one of those people that like to put those chlorine hockey pucks in the tank,
yep.
So you get blue water or, you know, whatever, you're actually disintegrating the rubber. If there are silicone ones, they're better. But if you have a rubber flapper, the rubber is actually dissolving.
These bleach products will just tear them apart.
And what happens is then it develops a little leak, so water is escaping out of the tank into your bowl.
Right.
But very minutely, like drops at a time, and you don't hear it necessarily, but the level in the tank goes down, and activates the valve that wants to fill it back up. Yep. So it sounds like it's a flush. It's not really a flush, but right. you're losing a lot of water.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've got my one bathroom has a flapper that just does not behave, and I've fooled around with it, but I know I'm going to remodel my bathroom, so I've been lazy about replacing
it. They can be a pain in the neck.
They're a pain in the neck. You know, I walk around, why is that toilet still running? Because it doesn't seal.
Yeah. And sometimes you replace the flapper, and the new flapper doesn't fit well.
And that leaks.
And it still leaks.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just you got to go get three or four different styles of it and see which one's going to fit, you know? Right. And then you have the newer bath toilets that have this kind of, it's a two-phase flush. You know, if it's a number one, you hit it halfway, and if it's a number two and you have to really flush it down, you
I get a kick out of those. You get the one indicator water sign and the two indicator and one. I've never seen the difference significantly in the flush volume, but I guess it's there. You know, whatever they say.
But in any case, I mean, a lot of times we're talking about this whistling sound. It has to do with a pressure regulator. So it doesn't matter. I guess it is. You wouldn't have that really on a well system, because the well system, the pump is acting as your pressure, and you have the blue tank. So the blue tank can fail on you, but normally if the tank fails on you, you're depressuring the system, pressurizing the system. Right. So you're not going to get the pressure you need, and you're not. Water is not going to make it to the second floor where you need the shower.
Yeah,
and know there's a problem, but. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to compliment you on differentiating those two. We have two things to think about, folks. On your city water systems, we have a pressure regulator which can create all kinds of different tones and sounds based on its activity or its setting or its failure.
They're to protect the rest of your fixtures because the pressure coming off the street is not regulated.
You're listening to WHCR-DB.
We did it again.
HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I know that, Chris.
Exactly. Hey, Chris, don't interrupt next time.
Yes, I know. It's so rude, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you.
We started late, we're going to finish late.
That's right. So, folks, the difference between, we're going to keep with that thought, the difference between our city water and our well water is provided through a tank that's under pressure, and he typically has a bath or a rubber bag inside the tank. A bladder, correct, that actually creates the pressure in your house. What's interesting about that is that you can overpressurize that system as well, and as well as your city water system. So always know that those type of noises will be unique. Have a professional plumber come and check you out.
Yeah, not a handyman.
And have that squared away, because those noises are really a precursor to something eventually is going to happen.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
You'll either have too much pressure going through your house, and eventually a fixture may, break
or
fail in some way because of that extra pressure that shouldn't be on the system.
Right.
So is that a good place to finish, I guess?
It is. Let's wrap it up, folks. That's, that's our fun for creaks, noises, and what goes bang in the night. We're glad you were with us today. We want you to stay warm this coming weekend, so don't be afraid to call up your heating contractor if you think you need it. But we're glad you listened in. It's going to be a great 2019. Have a safe one. We'll talk to you next week.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Last night, our collective promise was fulfilled with Jamie's safe recovery.
There is joy across the state of Wisconsin at news that a 13-year-old girl who'd been missing since her parents were found murdered in mid-October has been found alive. And a 21-year-old man is now facing charges for Jamie Kloss's kidnapping as well as for the murders of her parents. The Barron County Sheriff saying that suspect, Jake Thomas Patterson, wasn't on their radar screen.
Jake Patterson had zero criminal history locally and zero criminal history in the state of Wisconsin.
A third week of a partial federal government shutdown winding down now, but it's the first payday where about 800,000 federal government workers are not getting a paycheck. Meanwhile, President Trump is to host a roundtable discussion on border security and his call for a wall at the White House later today. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our...